So our Dharma talk this evening will be given by Dharma holder Mike Filicki. Mike is also a Boundless Way priest and the leader of Morning Star Sangha in Newton.
So welcome home, everyone. This moment is the koan. I've been sitting with this chant in mind for the afternoon, just letting it kind of bounce around in my mind. Thinking about this talk a little bit, of course I imagine there would be six of you. there goes all my planning. And that's the way of life, isn't it? I love the way that this piece begins. Although we speak of practice, this is not a practice you can do. That line alone is enough to talk about. This is not a practice you can do any more than you can create the moon and stars and the air you breathe. This practice is about waking up to all beings. And it is a practice that is done to us. In all sincerity, I have no idea where these words are coming from.
Oh, welcome. There are a couple more cushions down in the back right.
Just call it.
So we come to this zendo together, put ourselves in the oven and get cooked. Thrown into the pot a bunch of other potatoes with us, and we bounce around together. Feeling the entire environment work on us. It's quite a remarkable thing. None of us can do this alone. None of us could create this zendo alone, could create this sangha alone, could create this family of practitioners alone. Each of us having to show up, each of us completely integral to this project here tonight, to this moment, to the koan of this moment. Each of us absolutely necessary. And every one of us completely out of control. I don't know about you, but I can rarely manage to control a single thought. Never mind awakening or practice. The only thing I seem to be able to do is throw myself in. Just keep walking through the door, showing up, sitting on the cushion, and see what happens. So it's ironic that we also do practice with some kind of intention, some kind of curiosity about the moment. So what's the koan today? What's the koan right now? You know, so often it can feel like there's a sense of direction in practice. For me, that's a big mistake. Don't try to fabricate Buddhas, and don't be concerned with how well or how poorly you think you're doing. One way that I fabricate Buddhas is by imagining that my practice should be a particular way. My practice should be expansive and boundless. It should be, and the list goes on and on, compassionate. Often it should be anything other than what it is, right? Whenever I have a sense of direction, it leads me away from myself. Who is this Buddha that I'm trying to become? Where does she reside? This moment is the koan. Do you find yourself looking outside of the moment, imagining something other than this? You know, this guy, Mike, his talk isn't so good. Maybe there could be another one. How will we ever find our home if we don't recognize it while we're in it? Shatter obstacles and become intimate with awakening awareness. Shatter obstacles. How do we do that? What is an obstacle? Is yourself an obstacle? Oh, if I could just shatter myself. If I could just be shattered. Then I could be Buddha. Then I could be awake. And yet, here we are. What are these obstacles? Can you list them? Oh, it's my greed and my temper, and it's the way I get sad every morning. What might you say? You know, everything is a paradox in Zen. This moment is the koan. As the obstacles arise, there's nothing you can do. Because this is not a practice you can do. This is a practice of being done. When practice and realization are without complexity, the koan is this present moment. You know, he's speaking very directly to us here. We do make things complicated, don't we? If I could just be something other than what I am, then I could be Buddha. Then I could be happy. And so we make it complex. But what if you, just as you are, is Buddha? What if this moment is the koan and is the answer? What if this moment is exactly what you have been looking for your whole life? This moment. Dryer spinning in the basement. Some sort of anxious mind or wishful thinking. What if even that is it? We can't overcome obstacles and complexity by creating more complexity. Oh, you know what I'll do? I have a strategy. I have this strategy that I'll use that will remove these obstacles. The obstacles are a gateless gate. It's a trick. There's nowhere you have to go. There's nothing else you have to become. There is no obstacle you need to be rid of. This is it. This moment. Just this. Exactly this. Sore knees. Clickety clickety clack. Sniffy nose. Can you imagine that this is home? That which is before any trace arises, and the scenery on the other side of time's destruction, the activity of all Buddhas and awakened ancestors, is just this one thing. I remember talking with David one time. I was complaining. I told him, David, I'm afraid I'm not a very good teacher. I'm really a one-trick horse. And David said, may it never be otherwise.
So, whose ever phone that is...
Perfect, actually.
The musical interlude.
It's very pretty. I mean, isn't that just to the point? Just rest and cease. Be cooled. That is so sweet. Be cooled. just relax into this koan here. No matter the content of the koan, you can relax right into it no matter what it is. You can let it soothe you. That's quite a paradox, isn't it? There are times when the last thing that life feels like is cooling. Those times when things are really, really painful, constricted and intense. You know, but those moments are what this practice is for. You know, if the happy times pretty much take care of themselves, let's face it. Who would be here if we were already just, you know, perfectly happy all the time? Something drew us to the cushion. And it's not that practice is only about facing suffering and pain. It's not. There really are beautiful, precious moments in this practice. Moments of feeling so at ease and at home. And there are moments that are hard to bear. Moments where one teacher friend of mine recently called it feel like you're tied up and gagged in the basement. Quite constricted. Low ceiling. No escape. Those moments are precisely what this practice is for, too. Can we stay with them? Let them be. Let them arise and do their thing. Not take so much responsibility for them. So often in those dark places, those places that are difficult, that's when I long to be a different Buddha. And I go in and see my teachers and they say, why don't you be this Buddha? And it's such a relief. That I can do. Because it doesn't require anything. It just happens. The selfless self arising. Quite effortlessly. Past numberless years as this moment. This is like coming home and sitting at ease. And so in a really important way, we end where we began. We've gotten nowhere. We've learned nothing. Nothing to hold on to in this talk. Welcome home.
So. So please make yourselves comfortable.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is the time for our Dharma dialogue, to come forward with questions or comments about this talk or about this practice.
Struck by your comment about being out of control, because that's a good place that I understand. You know, and sometimes it's wonderful, and sometimes not so wonderful. So you also brought up these. You know, we're here exploring the difficulties, you know. It's interesting because for me, when I settle, I generally just, I'm really grateful about this practice and life. In those moments, it's easier for me to allow things to move and change. But when I'm really gripped by, like, anger and rage, yeah, it feels much more real. You know, now this is really serious. And occasionally, even there, if I can just be really angry, it's an amazing energy. But it's so much stickier. I tend to think that I really cling to the happy stuff, but maybe I really actually cling to that really intense energy. You know, so just really interesting how this out of controlness can really flow. That's what came to me.
Thank you. I love that. It feels this now. This feels real.
Yeah.
You know. Because that is the, you know, it is and it isn't, right? Is it real? Isn't it real? Who knows? But there is a feeling of, like, really that buying in.
Yeah.
You know, this thing matters. This particular issue that I'm focused on here, you know. You know, coming to sit with others for me and practicing and talking with others, you know, teachers, this for me has been the real key around those places. Like, coming and being, you know, have your feet held to the fire and just sitting in those rough places, you know, on the cushion because, damn it, you haven't rung the bell yet and I can't just get up. I'll look like an idiot. So I'll guess I'll just stay here with this stupid thing that's happening, right? For the 19th period. Somehow that is the key, right? That eventually there's like, oh yeah, this mystery. Did you ever see that movie Shakespeare in Love? There's this I guess that you'd call him sort of a producer. He owns one of the theaters. And he just keeps saying, people ask him, how's the show going to go up? There's all these terrible things going wrong, right? How's it going to happen? His answer is always, I don't know. It just does. It's a mystery.
Familiar words or we come to practice. Sadness was arising for me. And although I know I can't do it, there is something in me who would like to do it. And during your talk, again and again, the topic trust was coming up that we had in the other talk this morning. And I have moments when I'm sitting here where trust is arising, that I can't do this. And again, just right now, I'm noticing sadness arising. Because it feels in a way quite stuck. And now the words are coming up. So this sitting with this stuckness.
A lovely sigh. I think you're really, Susan, really expressing it so beautifully.
Yeah.
You know, both, so that we can't do it is both so sad. We've all been trying so hard for so long. And for me too. And yet also some relief. And then it keeps shape-shifting, like you're saying. So sometimes we can sit and, yeah, have a lot of trust, and I feel that. And other times, you know, like Mike said, you're just waiting for the bell to ring and thinking, why did I think it was a good idea to go on retreat? You know, it sounded so romantic. But it's so tender. And this tenderness that comes up, I really appreciate you sort of reporting and making room for it all. This is, it doesn't fixate as one thing or the other. Now tears, now clarity, now trust, now confusion. Right? This is the whole thing.
When you were saying, we can't do this alone, we can't do this without the rest of us, and I was thinking, well, yeah, that's why we all come from so far away. And for some reason I got a picture of amoebas. Amoebas come together and make a slime mold. Which is like this beautiful, colorful, organized thing. So different than what an amoeba does. And like, we come from all around and make this beautiful thing. And that's why we come.
Our first Zen teacher used to say, Zen is a slippery thing. And I think this gives new meaning to that.
Now we know what he was talking about.
Oh, it's that slime
Zen
mold.
Zen is a slime mold. The Sangha. Yeah. But it's true. You know, we really do make an organism together. And we really talk a lot about that in Zen, the together practice. So when we're walking, we follow in each other's footsteps. And every once in a while, there's just nobody's struggling anymore, and there's just this one body moving around. And sometimes we settle in here in the Zendo, and nobody's scratching or coughing or doing anything, and we're just... And you can feel that one thing, that slime mold.
Mm. Yeah. I really like stuck it. With it. Or Pearl, you know, whatever you want.
Well, say Pearl.
I'd say slime mold.
And also, especially this retreat with the coming and going, you know, so some of you here just this evening, some of you have, you know, been here, you know, for almost a week now, and all part of this, the thing I love about the slime mold is that the edges are diffuse, so it's not just this well-defined contained, It's this, so right now there's this ingathering here, and then in a little bit we'll all disappear to our beds, to our homes, and still together. Mm. Still Sangha activity, together action, driving your car through the cold, going into your house.
Yeah. We need a place for them.
Yeah.
I really appreciated the way you described the different sensations or the feelings you go through in the meditation. And it felt like today, exactly today, I felt bound and gagged down in the basement. Really, so many times I was like just praying that that bell would go because I didn't think I could stand anymore. And I really felt like I was boiling in a stew as well. That was just so present today, and so it felt great to hear that. And then another thing that I just love this kinhin, this very fast kinhin. It's like, it's just so full of glee. And I feel like a kid, you know, like a whole group of kids that were just chasing through the house and around and we were just having the best time, and the parents don't really want to do it, but we're doing it. And I just think that's the contrast of this rushing through the house.
That's great. Boy, it's really quite amazing because, you know, the realms that we travel through in this practice, because really we're all just sitting here and then walking around. Like, if you boil it down, there's not much going on. But for some reason, when you actually do this, you know, if anybody asks you, you know, what'd you do at retreat? Well, you know, I sat on a cushion for the weekend. You're going to be like, God, that sounds really boring. But if you try it, it's unbelievable. You know, you go, like you said, you know, through these hell realms, and then you're a child in a playground, and you're, you know, from the outside, it must be the most boring movie ever. But to be, it's your life, it's our life, right? You know? And it's like, what are we doing? We're learning to face everything, no matter what it is, like to face the joy, to face being gagged in the basement. You know, these are some of the places we go are very, very hard. You know, but to be able to be there and to receive it openly, even if we're kicking and screaming, we're receiving kicking and screaming. We can't help it. We can't fail at this practice. It just does itself.
Well, and the wonderful reminder that of not. You may think you're having good practice or bad practice. And please be aware that that is just another idea. You may think, wow, this is a really good, or then think, oh, this is terrible, I haven't learned anything. Yeah. It makes no difference. Your opinion of it doesn't really count for anything. right? Because it's going on at some other level. It isn't, we're not doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on that note, let's do it. We'll come back to our posture and take a few more breaths, and then Aaron will explain to us how to do kinyin.